So in this segment, we are going to be speaking about mental health and what's going on right now in the state of New Mexico after the legislature. I'm very happy to welcome Frank Fajardo. He's the director of the Office of Guardianship for the state of New Mexico. Alan Martinez is deputy secretary of the Department of Veterans Services. Patsy Romero is on the board of NAMI, which is the National Alliance on Mental Illness. Welcome all of you to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you for the opportunity to be here.
So there are every year a lot of issues that come up in the legislature because mental health is a problem that has effects on families, on the healthcare system, and wider-ranging social effects on everybody in the state of New Mexico. Maybe one of you could start with just what are we looking at when we look at the relationship between mental health problems and the responsibilities of the government of New Mexico to help deal with the issues that we have.
I'll be happy to take a stab at it. Behavioral health issues that encompass both mental health and substance abuse issues for individuals residing in New Mexico have a tremendous financial impact on the health care of all systems, regardless of what state you are residing in. And in New Mexico, it is important for us and for the legislature to address those issues, to assure that we have a comprehensive delivery system in an effort to more effectively and more efficiently manage the minimal dollars that we have in New Mexico. That's been a big challenge for us. New Mexico rates very low in the country in terms of funding behavioral health services. And so it's incumbent upon us to have a very efficient and effective system to manage those dollars.
One of the issues that came up in this legislative session was House Memorial 17, which basically addresses alternatives to incarceration. And that's something, Patsy, that you have been involved with. Is that correct?
Yes, I have been.
What's it all about?
So House Joint Memorial 17 that was sponsored by Representative Rick Mehta requires the Interagency Behavioral Health Purchasing Collaborative through their council. Right now, behavioral health services are managed through the Behavioral Health Purchasing Collaborative. And they are asking them to convene stakeholders to develop more humane strategies to serve people with mental health disorders. There's always a stigma with people with behavioral health service issues, and so that's very important. They want to reduce the number of people with mental health disorders that require law enforcement intervention. Often
there must be a huge problem.
Yes, it is. It's a huge issue. And sometimes our individuals with mental health disorders often end up in the criminal justice system. And so it's very important for us to look at that. They'd also like the task force to reduce the number of people with mental health disorders in detention centers. Our detention centers are filled with individuals with mental illnesses, and it's extremely important that we address that issue in New Mexico.
How do you address those things?
Well, through various interactions and interventions. Education is the most important component. Educating people about individuals with mental disorders in communities, making sure that we as a system of care look at the treatment of these individuals and look at the treatment courts. How are they addressing these issues and not just incarcerating people but sending people to treatment versus the jails or detention centers?
What are treatment courts?
Right now we have mental health courts across the state, and individuals who have been arrested for mental issues will go to court, and the court will require a treatment strategy for that individual. And many times it's in outpatient treatment so that individuals don't have to go to jails or detention centers and can be served. The court monitors their treatment and works with the treatment providers in order to assure that people are being served and are in compliance with their treatment.
Now, there's a bill that passed that actually requires crisis intervention training at the police academy.
Correct. House Bill 93 that was sponsored by Representative Ed Sandoval and Senator David Ulibarri requires that there's an additional 8 hours of crisis intervention training, focusing mainly on the de-escalation of an event when law enforcement interacts with somebody with the mental illness. There's 32 hours of crisis intervention training that a basic law enforcement officer has to go through for his basic law enforcement training. We want to introduce 8 hours of additional training that will give them the tools to de-escalate that situation. Somebody with suffering from PTSD, somebody suffering from autism, all these different mental illnesses, the one thing that we can get is if we can de-escalate that situation, I think it would be very successful both for the treatment of that individual and it's a successful resolution for law enforcement also.
Lord knows there have been some pretty horrible situations where a mentally ill person has either been shot or killed or at the very least re-traumatized by the police in some situation.
Well, one of the things that we enjoy here in New Mexico is law enforcement is very careful about how they handle situations. What we want to do with House Bill 93 is not only give them that 8 hours of initial training, but give them refresher courses, 2 hours every 2 years, on how to de-escalate that situation. It's not only traumatic for the person that is suffering from mental illness, but these things are very traumatic for the law enforcement official also.
Right.
What we want to do is de-escalate that situation so that not only does the citizen receive treatment and gets that situation de-escalated, but we're also protecting the law enforcement officer that is basically that first responder to that situation. We don't want to have that law enforcement officer have to diagnose the problem that the person is suffering from, but we want to give them the tools that's going to de-escalate that situation.
What are some of those tools?
Part of the tools is how you're going to approach that person. There's different types of mental illness. For instance, somebody suffering from autism. A law enforcement officer can't go hands-on because that person suffering from autism is going to have a reaction to that.
Right.
Somebody with PTSD, if you are extremely aggressive with them, they're going to go back to that military training and how they react to that aggressive behavior.
If they're military.
So all these things will be incorporated into the training. We're currently working with the PTSD National Service Center in California. We're working with the NAMI people, with law enforcement officials involved in crisis intervention. We want to bring everybody to the table to develop this curriculum because we want to take care of not only that citizen, but we want to take care of the law enforcement officer also.
Frank, you are the director of guardianship here in the state of New Mexico. What does that mean? What is guardianship?
Well, we have two different types of guardianship. One is directly related to what we're talking about here. We have what we call the mental health treatment guardians that are appointed by the courts when someone cannot give informed consent for their own treatment or medication. And when we're involved, it's when there's no one else available for the court to appoint. There's no family or friends or anyone else willing to do that. The other type of guardianship that my office is involved in is not related specifically to the mental health, but to just life in general. When someone cannot make decisions for themselves or they cannot communicate their decisions about other types of medical treatment, or it might be where they're going to live, or it might be anything else in life. And those situations might be related to a developmental disability, someone from childhood because of autism or because of some other developmental disability, they cannot make or communicate decisions, then they might need someone else to make decisions for them. Or it could be somebody that's elderly, that's has Alzheimer's or dementia, or somebody, you know, with traumatic brain injuries, and there's a whole variety. But what we're talking about here is the mental health treatment guardians that are appointed by the court, and we have a contract with the National Alliance for Mental Illness. They're the ones that actually help us train people to be mental health treatment guardians, and we fund those. We don't pay a whole lot, but you know, we thank God we have people out there that are willing to do that.
It's, I think, very hard when somebody is mentally ill, when they're first diagnosed with mental illness, or when the first signs come up that they have mental illness, to do the right thing and to do it quickly so that brain cells aren't lost, people aren't getting hurt, and the kind of progressive problems that happen when you wait, when diseases go untreated.
Well, our office doesn't get involved in the actual treatment. You know, where we get involved is providing someone who can make decisions for that person. You know, a decision that that person would have made for themselves had they had the capacity to make those decisions. Usually what happens is that the doctor or psychiatrist determines that the person cannot give the informed consent for themselves, and then they go to the court then to appoint a treatment guardian to make those decisions for them.
So House Memorial 45 passed. What is that about that addresses this set of issues?
That memorial is asking basically that, you know, different things that would be looked at. But basically that the Interagency Behavioral Health Purchasing Collaborative, which is one of the state agencies, convene a task force to look at the New Mexico law and to look at New Mexico practices related to the civil commitment proceedings. And my office doesn't get involved in the civil commitment proceedings themselves, but in the appointment of the treatment guardian is very much related to that. And the other part is that they would be looking at the part we're involved with, which is the appointment of the mental health treatment guardians.
Okay. I just wanted to add that there is a statewide concern about the timely provision of mental health care to state residents.
Right.
So that's a big issue for all of us in the system of care. And that's, again, in House Memorial 45, that's one of the concerns that will be addressed through that memorial.
Memorials don't have the force of law, but they basically, appoint a task force to study an issue?
Correct.
So let's talk about that for a moment. What happens when somebody in the state of New Mexico, you've got somebody who can't afford to put their, say, son or daughter into an expensive care facility. They're basically dependent on the healthcare system as it is, the mental health care system as it is, and the person is diagnosed with something or they're showing signs that something is deeply wrong. What happens then?
Well, I think we're fortunate in the state of New Mexico that we have certified community mental health centers across the state. There are community mental health centers in just about every region of the state. Currently, I believe there are 17. We also have identified certified children's providers across the state that can provide, they serve as the safety net for individuals with mental illness who cannot afford mental behavioral health or mental health services. Now, again, the funding is limited, but providers do receive some of those funds in order to provide those needed services for individuals across the state of New Mexico. I think it's important that we comment that the provider community who serve as the safety net for behavioral health services in New Mexico have done a tremendous job over the past 6 years as we've transitioned from one approach to funding behavioral health services, example using a managed care organization to manage our services versus a state agency. And the providers in the state of New Mexico have been faced with tremendous administrative costs to continue to administer these services. But they've done a very, very good job for us across the state in meeting those needs.
Why are the administrative costs so high?
Because you've been transitioning from one type of bureaucracy to another, if you would, for lack of a better description. So 6 years ago, the state of New Mexico decided to carve out behavioral health services and to have those services managed by one entity, which is one single managed care company. And so we've had two of those companies in the state of New Mexico over the past 6 years. So again, if you're trying to do business and you're changing companies, then right. of course you're going to have administrative burdens related to that.
Now, there's another issue that I thought we could talk about, and that is there was, Alan, there is another memorial that passed during the legislative session that regards veterans and post-traumatic stress.
House Joint Memorial 5, sponsored by Representative Diane Hamilton out of Silver City, is to look at the feasibility of creating a veterans PTSD treatment facility at the Fort Baird facility down near Silver City. One of the things that we are looking at is women coming back from combat are facing very unique situations when it comes to PTSD. Women who are seeking treatment for obvious reasons aren't comfortable sitting down with a group of men discussing traumatic sexual trauma that happened to them in the military. What we want to focus on, quite possibly at Fort Baird, is creating a facility that's going to be a treatment facility for women suffering from different types of PTSD, traumatic sexual trauma, post-traumatic stress, traumatic brain injury, that will be focused on the unique aspects of the issues facing women in the military, women coming back from combat.
What do they have right now?
Right now, Fort Baird is not being used for anything. It's part of the General Services facility down there. It used to be an old Army fort.
No, but I mean, what happens to women when they come back with those issues right at the moment?
Right now on the federal side, the VA Medical Center does have a specific clinic for women. Can they accommodate all the women? We have thousands of women coming back, and unfortunately the anecdotal evidence that we're seeing is that about one-third of the women in the military now are suffering some type of PTSD. Mm-hmm. So if you look at the fact that right now we have about 19,000 women that are veterans in the state of New Mexico, one-third of those are suffering from some type of traumatic issues.
And a lot of that is sexual trauma?
The vast majority, unfortunately, are traumatic sexual traumas coming back from the military.
Committed by their so-called brothers.
Right.
Right. Or colleagues, I guess you would say, fellow military.
Now, that problem is now coming to light. Has it gone on before? More than likely. But these are all issues that our department is trying to bridge the gap between veterans and the federal VA. The state has to do something. These people fought for our country. They're coming back to New Mexico. They're New Mexico citizens. They're part of our community. We need to do something to make sure that these women are taken care of.
Let's talk about the rest of the state. We live in a geographically large state with a relatively small population, and there are areas of New Mexico that are very rural where there perhaps aren't the mental health facilities that we would like. How is that being addressed? What's happening?
There are tremendous challenges in rural frontier New Mexico to meet the needs of both adults and children across the state. That's probably been one of the biggest challenges. I believe that the direction that the behavioral health system has taken to identify community mental health centers and core service agencies to reach out to these rural frontier communities has been a positive step. It, again, because we don't have the services that they may have in Albuquerque, for example, or in Las Cruces or Santa Fe, these communities often find themselves challenged in terms of transportation and having to come into the larger cities to get the care and services that they need. Did you want to add something else?
One of the things that the Department of Veterans Services, in cooperation with the VA Medical Center in Albuquerque, is doing to bridge this gap between the urban centers and the very rural centers is the use of telemedicine. Mm-hmm. We're setting up the VA Medical Center in Albuquerque has contracts throughout the state of New Mexico, and they're starting to use telemedicine, not only for eye doctors or skin doctors or general practitioners, but we're also starting to use telemedicine to deal with mental health issues in the smaller rural communities, because it's a lot easier for that veteran to go to his local community center or local clinic and be able to have his situation. He can sit down and talk to a doctor that's sitting in an office in Albuquerque. So this is not only cost savings for the veteran, it's cost savings for the veterans community, and that veteran is being able to take he's being able to be treated through telemedicine.
Now that's available to veterans. What about to regular people?
Well, I was going to mention some of the frustrations that we have, you know, with that issue. People are transported from the rural areas into the cities, you know, into Albuquerque, Las Vegas, and Las Cruces. We get a treatment guardian appointed for them at that location where they're going to get their mental health treatment and medication. However, when they're released, they go back to the community they came from. But the treatment guardian stays, you know, where the treatment actually first took place and right. Where the guardian was appointed. So that is one of the frustrations that we're hoping to be able to at least address through the House Memorial 45. The other, you know, frustration we have is that there's no consistency across the state in terms of, you know, that, you know, we mentioned the mental health courts, but those are in certain locations. They're not in every judicial district in the state. So there's no consistency across the state in getting mental health treatment guardians appointed or, you know, with the commitment proceedings themselves.
Another direction that the state is really having to take in terms of meeting the needs of individuals who live in these rural and frontier communities is a true integration of primary care with behavioral health. We've talked about it for many, many years, but with health care reform, with parity coming up in the laws, in behavioral health treatment laws, it's becoming more and more important for a true integration and partnership between the primary care clinics and the behavioral health providers so that we begin to treat individuals through a medical home model and treat them as a whole, regardless of what mechanism you use to treat them, whether it's telehealth or but that is becoming very, very important to us and a direction in which we have to take.
Well, and it's, I mean, that's a problem in all of medicine. There are patients who are falling through the cracks because the primary care and the specialists and the hospitals and the insurance and all that stuff are all these disconnected systems, and real health problems occur because of that.
Yes, exactly.
Now, there was a bill that passed, Senate Bill 438, which basically was to provide and staff a couple of safe houses, a rural one and an urban one, for mentally ill people in crisis who are in underserved areas. That was vetoed by the governor.
I have a small information, and I believe it was the cost related to that bill that is the reason for the veto, but I don't have enough information on it, but I believe that was one of the reasons that it was not signed by the governor at this time.
We've got just a couple of minutes left. What would each of you like people to know, just people who may not have be themselves or have relatives who are in the mental health system in one way or another, to know about mental illness in the state of New Mexico?
I can start on that. One of the things that I wanted to be sure to mention here, there's things that people can do to avoid having a treatment guardian appointed by the court for them. And that, you know, goes to the advanced healthcare directives. And in New Mexico, there's a specific advanced healthcare directive, and we can provide the forms out of our office for mental health treatment and medication that's different from your regular healthcare directives. We can also provide the forms for people if they want to look into the powers of attorney. so that they can designate someone else to make decisions for them should that case come up where they cannot give the informed consent for their own treatment.
One of the things that I want to make sure that people understand is that New Mexico is very unique in that everybody in New Mexico is either a veteran or somehow related to a veteran. And if your family member is a veteran, there are services out there. We have different benefits for different veterans. Not every veteran is going to qualify for every benefit, but there are benefits out there. So people need to contact our local offices. Call my office here in Santa Fe at 827-6300, and we will do everything we can to make sure that you get the benefits that you've earned.
And I would like to promote and encourage people to use the National Alliance for the Mentally Ill in New Mexico. We are a national advocacy group, and it is important that people understand that NAMI is not just for adults with mental illnesses, but also for children. And we are available to advocate and to help individuals access services, whatever they need, we're there for them. We maintain an office 4 days a week, Monday through Thursday. We have a toll-free number, and we will respond to any issues that are presented to us. Our number is 1-800-953-6745.
Patsy Romero is with NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Health. Alan Martinez is with the Department of Veteran Services. And Frank Fajardo, the Director of the Office of Guardianship for the State of New Mexico. Thanks so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're streaming live on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org. Thanks to Dot Foil Computer Services. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes. You can find us at facebook.com/radiocafe. And my email address is radiocafe@ksfr.org. Stay tuned for the BBC, then local news, then jazz.